I know that you all are looking forward to eating, so be a short message this morning. Luke chapter 8. Who said amen? Oh boy, all right. Yeah, but I'm going to have the last laugh. Because I told you it was a short message, but I forgot to mention the long introduction. All right. Luke chapter 8. And as we continue in Luke, well, we've looked at this passage last week. We'll be there one more time this morning, Lord willing. Look with me in verse 43 of Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, last Sunday evening, we looked at this portion of Scripture. Seeing this woman here is a great picture of the church. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins, in the filth of our own blood, we had our issues, we had our problems, and just as this woman had, Jesus came to heal this woman, to help this woman. In the passage, you have actually two women, this woman here, and then a younger maiden, the Bible says, who dies, and Jesus raises up from the dead. When Jesus comes for the church has some that are alive and remain, and some that have died. Remember, when Jesus does all this, look back in verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was what? Returned. The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So what are we doing now? Amen? We're waiting for Jesus. When Jesus comes, those of us in our own blood with our issue, the Lord's going to heal us. We're going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, we're going up. Those that are dead in Christ will raise from the dead. Glorified bodies will all go up together to be with the Lord. And that's a great picture here, so we can see this as a picture of the church itself. And if you're going to become a part of the church, you're going to have to do what this woman did. What did she do? Verse 48. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Hey, how did she get in? It was her faith. If you're going to get in to Christ, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to... See, you're in church today. You're here in this building, you're in church, but that doesn't make you in the church. Amen? To be in the church, the body of Christ, to be in the church, you have to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And to do that, the Bible says you can only do that by faith. No one gets to heaven based on how many good works they do. You get to heaven by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace alone, through faith alone, that is how we are saved. Man thinks it's works. Hey, everything she was trying to do here couldn't do anything good for her. I mean, did you notice that? All that this woman had attempted to do her whole life couldn't do anything for her. She got to the point where she realized she needed something she couldn't do for herself. The Bible said she spent all the money that she had on physicians trying to get... She did everything she thought she should do to get better, but it didn't help. Nothing this woman could do on her own could help her. She had to get to the point and the place in her life where she knew that it was only Jesus Christ that could help her. You ever been there yet? That's where you need to get to. There is only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to have your sins forgiven. There's only one way for you to ever have peace with God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him and Him only as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm a Baptist, but being a Baptist isn't going to get you to heaven. Amen? No matter what your religion is, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ that's going to get you to heaven. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All the doctors, all the education, all her money, all her friends couldn't do what she needed done. Amen? What she needed was something from Jesus Christ that only Jesus Christ could provide for her. And she found it. And the way she found it is here in verse 43, if you look with me please. Verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, Jesus, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. What was it that truly healed and helped this woman? We know it was her faith in Christ. But what did Jesus do for her? Look at verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Well, how did he know that? Why? For I perceive that, what? Virtue is gone out of me. You know what she got from him? Something she couldn't get on her own. You know what it was? It was virtue. It was virtue. You know what people are in need of? Virtue. You know what they think? If I can drum up enough virtue on my own, then I'll be satisfying to God and I'll get into heaven. No. You got it backwards. You don't have any virtue. You can't drum up your own virtue. What you need to do is get with the one that can give you all the virtue you need, because he's just overflowing with virtue, the Lord Jesus Christ. You, by faith, believe on Jesus Christ. And then what does he do for you? He gives you his virtue. Amen? Bob Jones Sr. is quoted as saying, you can borrow brains, but you cannot borrow character. Amen. What does that mean? You can't live your life based on someone else's character. You can read books. You can get information that other people have come up with to help you in circumstances. But only you can decide whether or not you want character and virtue in your life. Now, when we talk about this word virtue, because virtue is what's needed. Virtue is what this woman needed. What do we mean by virtue? Well, Webster's 1828 gives a bunch of different words defining this thing of virtue. It simply says strength, courage, excellency, bravery, energy, active power, quality, potency, efficacy as virtue of medicine. Integrity of character. Purity of soul. Performance of duty. Charity. Purity. Well, that sounds kind of like what a Christian should be. Doesn't it? But the only way that you can do the things that a Christian should do is if you first get with the one who can provide that virtue that we all need. And that's what this woman did. She came and she found, by faith, she found this virtue. I'm glad that I'm saved by faith. I'm glad there's nothing I can do to go to hell, no matter how hard I try. I'm going to heaven. Thank God that I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm glad that Jesus saved me. But you got to realize, as a Christian now, there's more to this thing than just being saved. The Lord desires to do something in our lives once we're saved. What is it that the Lord's looking to give to us? What is it that will please Him? It is, one guess, virtue. Virtue. And out of Jesus Christ, this woman found virtue. Now look with me a couple places. Hold your place here. But look with me, please, in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll go to Ruth chapter 3. Let's look at a few places in our Bibles this morning. Help wake you up. Get the cobwebs off. 2 Peter chapter 1. You see, I thank God I'm going to heaven. I thank God that when I believed in Jesus Christ, I'm now saved and always will be saved. But the Lord did more for us than just saving our souls. He's called us to more than just heaven. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to what? To glory. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? But in the meantime, and this is the part we forget, and what? Virtue. Yeah, thank God we're saved so that we can go to heaven. But the Lord just didn't save us to take us to heaven. The Lord saved us to do something in our lives down here. What is that? To demonstrate virtue. Because we understand who that virtue comes from. Now look in Ruth. Ruth is an interesting book. Ruth, if you've ever read the book of Ruth before in the Old Testament, you find that Ruth is a great picture of the church, a picture of the bride of Christ. Who is she? She's a Gentile woman that leaves her Gentile gods and comes and gets married to Boaz, a ruler, a redeemer in Israel. How about that? And she just happens to come to him during the barley harvest, which is when the Holy Spirit came down. That's the Feast of Pentecost. And that's when this woman ends up meeting this guy and the marriage takes place. So we see here in the book of Ruth, that Ruth, a great picture of the church. And what does Boaz, a picture of Christ, have to say about her? Verse 10. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 10. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art," what? "A virtuous woman." The testimony that Ruth had, this woman who pictures the church, was what? A virtuous woman. You ever read about a virtuous woman in the Bible? Say, what is that? That's supposed to be, listen, that's supposed to be a picture of the church. That's supposed to be you and I. God's desire for you and I is to be a virtuous people. Yes, we're going to heaven. Yes, we're going to heaven simply by our faith. But God wants more than that for our lives. And God's desire for each of us is that virtue will one day come forth out of us as it did out of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm so glad I have Jesus as my Savior. Jesus is great. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. He's my all in all. He's everything. I feel sorry for people that are stuck with a guy like Buddha or Muhammad. I just feel sorry for them. Say, why? You going to compare the virtue of Buddha to Jesus? Are you really going to try and convince me that Muhammad was as virtuous as Jesus Christ while he was married to a 9-year-old girl? You're really going to try to convince me of that, honestly? There was one who was virtuous. There was one without lack of virtue that walked this earth for 33.5 sinless years. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. When He stood before Pilate, the governor, Pilate's response concerning Jesus Christ was, "I find no fault in Him." Could that be said about you or I? No fault at all? Not in Jesus. You say, why? He was full of virtue. He was a virtuous man. Amen. When you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know what it is you're rejecting? Virtue. Virtue. That's why you reject Christ. You're not interested in virtue. Amen. See, this world, they have the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. To this world, the things that are important are education, looks, money, intellect. That's the things that the world holds up as values to press towards. Not me. That's not Bible. That's not what you and I as Christians should be valuing and pressing towards. No, sir. It should be virtue. You say, well, I think education and intellect are really more important. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. I know a fella, you probably wouldn't want to go visit him in a movie theater. His name was John Holmes, I think. He was intellectual. He was educated. But you wouldn't want to send your kids to a movie with him. Say, why? He wasn't virtuous. No virtue. Without virtue, what do you have? What do you have? Oh, yeah, but boy, he's a good-looking man. Yeah, like Alec Baldwin? Yeah, good-looking man. I wouldn't trust him with your teenage daughter, though. Say, why? No virtue. What do you hold up? What do you look at? See? And you do that, and these people, they hold up money. Yeah, look what that's done for us with Wall Street and the banks and all that. You're going to hold that and esteem that higher? None of that stealth is going to help you. That's not what this world needs. What this world needs is virtue. And what's missing is not the money, and it's not the education. That's not where the problems of this world are coming from. The problems in this world are coming from a lack of virtue in people's lives. We used to esteem virtue as the thing above all else. You think of the founding fathers of this country, and say what you want about them, not all of them were probably Christians, but most of them were virtuous. Most of them were men of character. Most of them were fellows that could speak three or four languages and have a college degree before they were 18 years old. Say, why? We esteemed things like that one time. Hey, what does Stalin, Hitler, Darwin, and Ted Bundy all have in common? Well, they were good looking. They were educated. You know what they were missing? I'll tell you what they were missing. Virtue. You know what made America great? It wasn't its money. You know what made America great? It was its virtue. That's what made America great. Why is America going down the tubes? Because America no longer seeks and desires and uplifts and it upholds virtue. That's why. That's the difference. Listen, you compare our founding fathers to the politicians that we have today. Why do you think we have the politicians that we have today? You elect them. It's the American people electing them. Why? What are they looking for? They're not looking for virtue in someone running for office. That's the least thing from their mind. They're looking at the smooth talker, they're looking at the money, they're looking at the looks, they're looking at the intellect, but they're not looking at the thing they ought to be looking at, virtue. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. The number one quality used to be virtue. The main reason that moms and dads would send their young people to a public school was not so that they could become the smartest kid on the block. It was because they knew if they went to a public school, instilled in them would be virtues that would last them a lifetime. Not anymore. Lord knows, not anymore. What's happened? The main thrust of all of it has been changed. Now look with me, please, in 2 Peter chapter 1. This woman came to Jesus Christ, out of whom she found all the virtue that she needed to heal her issue, to help her in her life. 2 Peter chapter 1. But Brother A, I know The Bible says, I'm saved by faith. Amen. I know. But now that you're saved by faith, what's the next thing that you are supposed to do? I know. What's the answer? We got to disciple them. We got to teach them. We got to give them knowledge. We got to show them all the doctrines. We got to show them how to rightly divide. We got to feed their little gray skulls of mush with all this information. Amen. That's what I was taught. And to me, what the Lord showed me is that's what's wrong in our Bible-believing churches today. The focus. The focus has been placed on knowledge. And knowledge is important. And knowledge is good. But knowledge after you're saved should not be the main focus. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's desire for us is to be partakers of His nature down here. See, how are we going to do that? We need knowledge. Not yet. Hold on. You know what you're going to need first? What does He say? Watch. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So, yes, we're saved by faith. But does God want us to stop there? Or does He want us, after we're saved by faith, to begin to add things into our life? And what is it first that we must add as His people? What does He say? Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith knowledge. And to... Nope. Missed it. Missed the boat. Going to have problems in your Christian life. And you'll do it with all the knowledge in the world. Verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. Why? Why is that so important? I'll tell you why it's important. What does He say after that? And to what? And to virtue, add what? Knowledge can't be added to your faith. Help me out now. These are building blocks. Do you understand? If you're missing one block, you're in trouble. All of these building blocks, it starts with your faith. That's your foundation. Your faith in Jesus Christ. But then to build upon that foundation, the first block that must be laid upon it is what? Virtue. Leave out the virtue, and what do you got? You got a house of cards. That's what you got. It's going to crash down. Now, the Lord's going to give this whole list, but notice one is added onto another, just like boxcars on a train. And if that coupling, if they don't fit, this thing is not going to work. Now, look with me, verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You notice, one is following the other. And the temperance, patience, and the patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And so there's an order to these things. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The promise to a fruitful life, Christian, is right there. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye might never... No, it didn't say might. You what? Shall never fall. What is that? That's a promise from God. Anybody here never known a Christian that's fallen? Now, I know preachers that have fallen. Say, why? Well, they added to their faith knowledge. They missed a step. Virtue. Because without the virtue, brethren, all the other stuff doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I've seen Christians, Bible, King James, Bible-believing Christians, soul winners, street preachers, sold out for God, rightly divide the Scriptures. And I've seen them split churches. Yes, You say, why? Well, they had knowledge. But they were missing something. They were missing the first step after your faith. And what God's looking to do in each of our lives after we're saved, number one thing is what? Add to us what? Virtue. And you were told by God that after you're saved by faith, you're to add to your faith what? Virtue. Have you? Now, if you're here and you're not saved, maybe you'll get saved today. I hope you will. And then right away, you know what you can do? You can get off on the right track. Say, how? You just start, right after you're saved, start adding virtue to your life. Maybe you've been here and you've been saved a few years. Maybe you're a young Christian, older Christian. Listen, the first thing you need to do right now is stop whatever you're doing and just start concentrating on adding virtue into your life. Because what happens to a lot of Christians is they get off on knowledge and these other things without the virtue, and then 20 years later, their lives are a ruin. Their families are messed up. They have problems. Say, what happened? They forgot something. You better get the virtue. So get it now and get a head start. Amen? Amen. Now I have a list here. This is my list. Alphabetically. My list of virtues. Virtues. Got 100 of them. You ready? I'll read you my list. I'll try to go over it as quickly as possible. So please give me your undivided attention. These are ones for my life. Things I'm trying to aspire and work on. Number one, acceptance. Like I said, alphabetical order. Which simply means you don't complain about your circumstances. You accept wherever you're at in life. Number two, accountability. Own up and accept responsibility for your actions. Number three, ambition. A desire to succeed, to innovate, to improve. Number four, benevolence, doing good to others. Five, boldness, speaking out when necessary. Number six, bravery. That's acting when afraid, by the way. That's what bravery is. It doesn't mean you're not afraid. There's certain things you're supposed to be afraid of. But it does mean that you act even in the face of fear. Number seven, caring. Number eight, chastity, purity in conduct and intentions. Cautious. Avoid dangerous situations. Cleanliness. Outward and inward. Commitment. These are virtues. Commitment. Carrying out purposes. Don't go with things halfway. Compassion. Sympathetic towards the plight of others. Confidence. Not foolhardy over things, but confident. Considerate, not rude or malicious toward others. Contentment, satisfied in the lot, in your lot in life. Cooperation, you associate and work well with others. Courage, not fearful. Courteous, respectful, mindful of others. Number 19, creativity, able to come up with new ideas that help. Number 20, curiosity, desire to find out and know things. Next, defiance, resistance toward wrongdoing, like the martyrs. Dependability, how's that one? Reliable, can be counted on. Church starts at 11, you're here before 11, amen. Sunday school starts at 9:45, you're here before 9:45. Are you on time? See? Dependable. Determination. Firm in purpose. Devotion. Zeal. Love. Loyalty. Number 25, diligence. Giving necessary degree of care. Number 26, discernment. The ability to distinguish and discriminate. Not easily fooled or deceived. Number 27, discretion. Keeping your mouth shut when you need to. And you can be trusted when others divulge things to you. Disciplined, self-control. Eloquence, power, persuasive, articulate in speech. Empathy, identifying with the plight of others. Enthusiasm, a zealous spirit, positive toward goals. How are we doing so far? Are y'all going to sleep on me? Am I boring you? These are virtues. What do you think of them? What does God think of them? Excellence. Desire to attain to a high degree. Faithfulness. Flexibility. Focus. Forbearance. Forgiveness. Fortitude. Friendliness. Frugality. Which means being economical with your resources, handling your money well. Generosity. Gentleness. Graciousness. Gratitude. Helpfulness. Honesty. Honor. Hopeful. Humbleness. Humility. Humor. Idealistic. Integrity. Impartiality. Industry. Innocence. Joyfulness. Justice. Loyalty. That's one that's missing. Meekness. Mercy. Moderation. Modesty. Obedience. Openness. Orderliness. Peaceful. Perseverance. Persistence. Piety. Which means humble devotion. Prudence. Punctuality. Whoop. Purity. Purposefulness. Reliability. Is that you? Resolute. Resourceful. Respectful. Responsibility. Restraint. Reverent. Righteous. Selflessness. Self-sacrifice. Service. Sensitivity. Simplicity. Sincerity. Sobriety. Steadfastness. 91, strong. 92, tactful. 93, thankfulness. 94, thrifty. 95, tolerance. 96, toughness. 97, trustworthy. 98, truthfulness. 99, wisdom. 100, zeal. Now that's my list. Now, if you can think of more to add to this list, please keep them to yourself. I'm still trying to work on these 100 here. Amen. I'm doing my best. Praise God. But that's why I made that list. So I can go over it. And I can see some areas that I need to add a little into my life. Why? Because that's what the Bible said I was supposed to do as a Christian. You know what she got from Jesus besides being healed? She got virtue. She got virtue. And if we're saved, we should aspire to virtue. Listen, most of the problems in our life are simply a result of a lack of virtue, if we'd be honest. Come on now. Most of the problems in your home, most of the problems in church, most of the problems on the job, most of the problems in your relationships are all a direct result. It's a cause and effect. And the problem is a lack of virtue. We ought to value virtue. Now, y'all ready for the message? Now, I told you, that's the introduction. You ready? All right. I told you, it's a short message. So pay attention now. We're on the message, okay? The message is, we ought to value virtue. Why? Why ought we to value virtue? Number one, if you'll look back with me in Luke chapter 8, we ought to value virtue because of where it comes from. I said we ought to value virtue because of where it comes from. Where does it come from? Yeah, it comes from Jesus Christ. Look at verse 45. Jesus said, "Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee. Listen, they were touching him. Everybody was touching him. Everybody was feeling on him, but he said, No. Somebody really touched me. Somebody really got a hold of me. And I can tell. How? Somebody got some of my what? Virtue. Virtue. That's what the Lord noticed. What was coming out of Jesus? Virtue. Sure, look back there in chapter 6. Chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says. Everywhere Jesus went. What was coming out of him? Virtue. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Luke 6, 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Why? For there went virtue out of him and healed them. What was coming out of Jesus? Why did people want to touch him? Why did they want to get a hold of him? He was the one that had the virtue. And why should we desire virtue? Because of the one who virtue is associated with, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says that man at his best state is altogether vanity. And you may have some heroes, and you may have some men that you look up to. The Bible says all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, do is put man where he deserves to be, and God where he deserves to be, and if we'll do that, we'll value virtue. You're not going to get it from Hollywood. You're not going to get virtue from television or college. Where are you going to get it from? You're going to get it from Jesus. And we ought to value it simply for that reason. Why should we value virtue? Look with me in Proverbs chapter 12. We ought to value virtue because of whom it represents. Proverbs chapter 12. Say, Brother Ray, you need to hurry the food. And I know, but listen, it's going to taste better the longer we wait. All right, Proverbs chapter 12. You know what follows virtue in that list? I think it was patience, wasn't it? All right, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman, now watch it, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. What does that mean to be a crown? That means you bring glory to them. You bring honor to them. A virtuous woman will bring honor to her husband. Is that supposed to be the church? Is that supposed to be the Christian? You say, why should we desire virtue? Because of whom we represent. Because of whom we're seeking, I hope, to worship and glorify. And listen, if we don't have virtue, we're just like this woman here. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to the bones. When it comes to us in our relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives, we are either going to glorify Jesus Christ or we will bring shame to His name. Which is it for you, Christian? It's going to be one or the other. You'll bring glory or you'll bring shame. Hey, in the military, you bring shame and dishonor to the military, they just give you a discharge. Dishonorable discharge just puts you out. Jesus won't discharge you, but you sure will be ashamed. And you sure are bringing shame to Him. Why does the military put those people out? Because they make the military look bad. Don't make Jesus look bad. If you're not going to make Jesus look bad, you're going to have to value virtue and add it into your life. Simple as that. We're said to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How are we going to be ambassadors for Him if we're bringing shame to His name? How are we going to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not one of these lifestyle evangelist preachers. Okay? Lifestyle evangelism today is a good way of saying I can kind of look like a Christian without telling anybody. No. You don't win people to Christ just by living a good life. You have to tell them how to be saved. But if you're telling them how to be saved without living a good life, you sure are making it hard on the Lord to convince them they need to be saved. You see? Why? You're not. When they see a lack of virtue in our own lives. The Bible says we're to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And the Bible says as Christians we are to add to our faith virtue. Why should we value virtue? Because that is what is necessary to help others. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. How was it that Jesus was able to help others? By His virtue. How are we going to be able to help others? We won't be able to without virtue. Notice in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the Bible asks this question, who can find a virtuous woman? Boy, if it was tough back then, imagine how it is now. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That's some value. That's some value. Say, why? Because it's rare. And when something's rare, it's more valuable. You know what God's looking for? Do you understand this woman is a picture of the church? That's the Lord. Do you know what He's looking for? He's looking for something of great value. See, what's He looking for? Virtue. Does He find it in you? Have you sought to add it to your life? Notice this woman, what she does with her virtue. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What's her virtue doing? It's helping her husband. It's blessing her husband. You see, you can't help or be a blessing to others unless you have virtue. It's that virtue that will truly be a help to others. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's helping her kids. She's helping her maidens. She's helping her husband. You know what she's doing because she's a virtuous woman? She's just helping everybody. And without virtue, you can't do that. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's industrious. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She's helping the poor. Why? Because she's virtuous. How are you going to help others? You're going to have some virtue. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. She helps her whole household. Why? For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself. Now look at that. She's even helping herself. Why? Because of how she'll look. Her covering. You know what you need, ladies, for a covering? You know what you need, men, for a covering? Virtue. You know, that's the best thing you can put on. Add to your faith. Virtue. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. Huh? Who's known? Help me out now. Help me out. Who's this woman a picture of? Her. Who's known in the gates? Not her. Her husband, Jesus Christ. Because of her. Because of you. Because of the church. We are the representative. Listen, if we're going to help anybody else, we're not going to be able to do it if we don't have virtue ourselves. If you're not courteous, if you're not kind, if you're not faithful, if you're not on time, if you're not trustworthy, if you're greedy, if you're without honor, I'm glad you want to help others. Thank God you want to help. But how much are you really helping if there's no virtue going with it? That's kind of like a poor man who tells you how much money he's going to give you when he hits the lottery. It's kind of nice to hear, but it doesn't do you any good. Amen? I'm glad you want to help others. But without virtue, what kind of a help can any of us be? Say, what came out of Jesus? Virtue. And it's that virtue that gave power, that gave faith, that gave strength, that gave encouragement, that healed, that blessed, that edified, that cleansed. What's the problem? People. People have problems. Say, what are those problems? Those are issues. This woman had an issue. What was going to fix it? Virtue. So real quickly now and we'll be done. How are you going to obtain virtue? Would anybody here like to obtain some virtue? Does anybody here desire to add some virtue in your life? Give me 5 more minutes of your attention, please. And let me just give you some practical things so that you can add some virtue to your life. First of all, if you're going to add virtue to your life, you have to get with Jesus because He's the one that has it. Does that make sense? And to get with Jesus, what I mean by that is you have to do what this woman did. This woman just didn't come up to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, help me." Did you read that, Luke 8? That's not what she did. You know what she did? You know how she found that virtue from Jesus? She said she touched the what? The border of His garment. Where's that at? That's way down here. That's where you'll find it. At the feet of Jesus Christ. That's where you'll find it. Have you been spending time there? Hey, I've got another one. There's a book of virtues. I think most of you have one in your lap right now. How much time are you spending in it? What is that Bible? It's a book of virtues. All the way through it. Good lessons, bad lessons on virtues in people's lives. All through it. Are you applying those things practically in your life as you read through them? Learning where people blew it, where people's strengths, weaknesses. A lot to find out in that book. Hey, you know what else you could do? You could make up your own list. You can borrow mine for $19.95, get a copy of the CD and listen to the list. That way you have to listen to the message again. Amen. Or come up with your own. How many of you have a list of virtues that you're aspiring to? Isn't that something? What's the first thing we're to add to our faith? Now, how are you adding them if you don't even know what they are? Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to pick on you. We just need to get our priorities straight, Christians. We need to have our priorities the same as the Lord's. And the number one thing as Christians that we're supposed to be adding into our lives is virtue. Virtue. One more thing. Look in Philippians chapter 4. That's what I'm saying. Man, if you're not saved, if you got saved today, or if you've just been recently saved and you're here, do you realize the head start that you have right now as a Christian? You can get way ahead of the game. You can get right on board and get things going the way they're supposed to go in your lives by now that you're saved, now that you have faith, now begin to add virtue. Say, "Brother, I have been saved a long time, but I've never done it that way." Well, hurry up. Start now. When you start, the better off you're going to be in your Christian life. Look there with me, Philippians chapter 4. Now, you ever hear somebody say this? You are what you eat. I shouldn't be talking about food. I know we're getting ready. Hold on. Stay with me. You all heard that though, right? You are what you eat. And I understand the idea that if you eat well, you'll be more healthy and all. I get it. Okay. Of course, what's right to eat and what's not right to eat changes every week. So, you know, who knows? But I understand. Okay? You are what you eat. Okay. But really, That's just talking about your physical body, and that's not who you are. Is it? Is that all you are, is a sack of blood and bones? Is that all you are? You know what you are? You're not what you eat. I'll tell you what you are. I'll tell you what every single one of you here is right now. You are what you think. Every flaw in character is the result of a process of wicked thinking. You are what you think. Would you like to be virtuous? Then what should you do? Look, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, kind of like me, still got a half chapter to go, but he said finally. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That thing you're thinking on, where's the virtue in it? That's what you need to ask yourself. Everything coming through this pea brain, is that a virtuous thought? And the more you'll think virtuously, the more virtuous you shall become. That's not my opinion. That's God's. God told us what to do. He's given us everything we need to live a virtuous life. We just have to desire it. We just have to want it. We have to be willing to spend time at the feet of Jesus Christ, to spend time in His Word, applying its principles, to come up with our own list that we can begin to work on and add to our lives, and most importantly, to begin to control our thoughts and make sure those thoughts are God's thoughts, because the Bible says, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And so what we need to do is begin to look and think of things the way God does, if it's ever going to change us. And so look back with me in Luke 8 and we'll close. Luke chapter 8. You know what? We all have issues. We all have things that need to be fixed in our lives. None of us has arrived. None of us can say, as Pilate said of Jesus, I find in Him no fault at all. We all have room to grow and some virtue to be added. We have to realize who it comes from. There's only one that can heal us of whatever issue we have in our lives. What was this woman's motive for being healed? You know what it was, really? I mentioned this last Sunday night. It was simply this. She was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you're sick and tired of sin and this life and all the junk that's out there, then you'll not only touch Jesus Christ, you might actually touch Him. There was a lot of them touching Him. But there was one, she was just sick and tired, and she touched Him. I mean, you ever really touch Him? That was her motive. 12 years without hope, without satisfaction, without help. What was her means? Faith. Simple faith. Jesus, You can heal me. Jesus, You want to heal me. Her method, she simply placed herself at His feet And the main result? Virtue. Out of Him. Add to your faith virtue. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray You bless the message. Pray You'd help us as Your people to be a virtuous people. God, to be Your children that will bring praise and honor to You. That will be as that virtuous woman, ministering constantly to others, glorifying her husband, honoring him. Now, Father, work in hearts. Be with us, Lord, today as we go to dinner on the grounds. Now, Father, bless the food. Bless the fellowship. Bless the hands that prepared it. God, give a special blessing to the Dickens today as they're with us. Encourage them and bless them and strengthen them. God, we pray that they'd return at Your time,